Good evening, folks. Welcome to a special edition of the Town End Podcast, live from the end of McGuill Suite in Oriel Park. We've obviously got a formal, I'd say you played a bit of football, but we're obviously going to do a post-match introduction as well, but we're just going to give this man his just deserves and the introduction that he probably deserves. And I'm going to have to use my phone because it's an absolute Wikipedia page of what this man has achieved as a footballer. I'm going to embarrass the absolute, how many kids in here, feet off him. So for a fullback, so just remember we're reading this out, this man played fullback. 541 career appearances, 495 starts, league appearances 429, league starts 396, European appearances 29, 28 European starts, 37 career goals, 32 league goals, 41 career assists, giving Darren Meehan a run for your money. Three clubs, two and a half really. Five league titles, three FAI Cups, three League Cups, one Leinster Cup, two President Cups, one United Union Champions Cup, and the biggest farce of the lot is that he's only had one PFEI Team of the Year in 2015. Will you give a round of applause to Dane Massey, please? So, Dane, very welcome to the show. As everybody who watches the show, it is live, generally unscripted. So we just go with, we'll run into our normal format. So Dane's obviously watching the game. So just as a whole, obviously, look, it's, we've done this part. The last time we've done a live podcast here was down the Lilywhite, and we played a team from the West. They beat us 2-1, Sligo Rovers. So it's not a good omen. So if we're announced, maybe we should maybe stay away, do it somewhere in the Glen Gart or something, not come to Oriel Park. But from your from watching the game tonight, we'll skip yous too because we've been a legend just in the middle. Obviously, knew we spoke last week on our show, but what we expected of a John Caulfield team, we knew it was going to be tough, but we were just talking off air there, the speed of Galway tonight, off the ball, on the ball, like just from yourself as a fullback playing against John Caulfield Cork, what were you expecting tonight and what did you think of the game itself?
Thanks for having me, lads, first of all. Just to start off, all those stats, I've won everything, anything I've done in my career, I've done it here in this special place. And it means a lot. There's a special core group of players that achieve the exact same as me there. And it's not just like you're saying fullback. I'm sure Sean Gannon has the exact same or even better stats than me, but like it's a special place and there were special times. But now your question on tonight's game, you said it, John Caulfield. We all remember John's teams from like especially from Cork City, just direct football. And to be honest, like they were probably the opposite tonight. They were very good in the final third. Their two fullbacks were excellent. I thought Horgan and Donnelly, great ball in for the second goal. And Horgan wasn't really, had no bother at all, even and he had a handy one, really. So it was a complete opposite. Anytime they had a chance to go short from set pieces, they did it. And essentially, they played football and they played it really well tonight.
Yeah, I would have been expecting like a lot of high balls, a lot of dangerous set pieces, but they seem to go against type and a lot of short ones and a lot of probably pre-arranged things of like players coming around the side rather than the long ball in. Like, how much would you think that's a calculated thing that the guys have come up with to counteract what we would have been expecting? Like, are they saying during the week, right, they're going to expect us to have a lot of balls into the box, so we're going to flip it and play a lot of short stuff around the sides of them?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you look at like the Pats beat them 1-0 in Galway last week, and John Daly, the pass manager, came out during the week and he was saying that he had his players heading 150 balls per session, like, and that's typical of John Caulfield's team, direct. But like you look at them tonight, they were going short from every corner, they were lining up long throws into the box, and then they do it short and were putting really good quality balls into the box, which were causing Dundalk and the lads problems.
I think Kieran, you're obviously doing the commentary on Dundalk FM tonight, even just from I couldn't get over the speed. Like Dayovan in particular, you know, I couldn't get over how quick this team were across the ground. Like even on a surface like Oriel Park, I don't know whether we're doing them a disservice. In, I know a lot of the comments have come in already. You know, we had an off night. We've, you know, some of the passing went awry, but are we doing a disservice to John Caulfield's team here and Ollie Hogan's team? Like, you know, I think Galway really upped their game tonight and really brought it from the West with them, and you know, they had did an excellent kind of a whole 90 minutes, and they probably could have played for another. They looked as fit as anybody I've seen. They probably could have played for another 30 minutes.
The other argument that we can have from this is that this is a team that the majority of them came up promoted with from the first division, so these guys knew how to play together, and I think they knew what their core strengths were. And this is a Dundalk team that is currently in a transition at the moment where they're still trying to find their feet, and like, there's still some players that you're looking at. The goalkeeper, George Shelvey, he's only been here, what, 10 to 12 days. Zach Bradshaw is another player. Like, these lads still haven't kind of, I'd say, what would be the max that they've trained together? Maybe 10 times, 10 to 12 times. Like, that's not enough in order to kind of get a team gel together in order to be playing in a 36-game season. So I think Dundalk will come good in time. Like, there's daps. Like, you saw opportunities in the second, and at the end of the first half, and particularly in the second, when Dundalk did get a foothold on things, they got a bit of joy down the right, particularly in the end of the first half. Archie Davies had a couple of good opportunities to put the ball in. He got a little bit of joy in the second half, but then Galway just seemed to kind of tighten things up. They seemed to know when to break, and they seemed to know when to attack, and then, you know, to kind of hold in. It was the best way to describe it. It was a frustrating night. I think it's a frustrating night as a Dundalk fan. A frustrating night when you're looking from it when you look at the manner in which we played last week, where we were very well organized, very astute in how we were to play. But then again, there were Galway at times when they needed to, they played that kind of long ball. There seems to be this idea that if they play a long ball over the top, like they did last week with Rory Gaffney, the same thing was happening again tonight, that you have a situation in which they might be saying, you know, no disrespect, but is the fullback line slow? Is the centre back slow? Is that what we're going to try and do? Hit them on these counter attacks? Look, I think as the season goes on, we are going to improve. But at this moment in time, it's just these niggling little things that you see with a new team that's in transition that we're just going to have to iron out. But yeah, it was a frustrating night.
Just wanted to ask Dane a question just on that. So it being a group of players, like a lot of new players coming together, how hard is it, or how quickly would you expect sort of like an understanding to grow between, say, like Mayo and Andy Boyle haven't played too many games and they're playing with a new goalkeeper they haven't trained with and midfielders in front of them? How hard is that to actually get like the core chemistry together? Because like, we probably talk about that a lot as like they haven't played together much, but we don't obviously know what it's like in the dressing room. Like, how difficult is it to get a new group of players together and get them gelled and get them playing the way that we want them to play?
Yeah, obviously it's hard. It's hard with Irish players coming in and, you know, they're moving away from home, but especially from lads from the UK, it's even harder again. You know, you have to wait, you have to try and get the lads settled as quick as possible, get them into the changing room, and then you got to enforce your way where you want to play football and how you want to play and break down teams. So in terms of that, Stevie has a hard job. But then you look at his core group of players. You have John Mountney, captain, Robbie Benson, Andy Boyle, Daryl Horgan, all great lads, good attitude, very approachable fellas. Like, I'm sure Robbie's still cooking dinners for the lads of Dundalk and he's living in Dublin now. But that's the sort of people you need in the change room to gel a team. And I'm sure, look, it won't be long. And to be honest with you, I know you're saying, Kieran, that they're a team in transition, but they didn't do an awful lot wrong tonight. They had 70% possession and it was good at times. They just didn't have that killer instinct in the final third. They got into the ball and they got into the box quite a few times. It was just that final ball. Can you stand it up to the back post? A lot of crosses went long and just the quality in the final third wasn't there, but that's something you can work on and it can come.
Yeah, just that was kind of segues into the next question. If it's, you're talking about the final third, like Robbie's had a chance there within probably 6-7 minutes and it just hasn't. It just kind of petered towards going to be Darrell later on then as well. But even the Benson chance then led to goal, was goal, you know, within a couple of minutes. It's fine margins. Although we were disappointed with the result, and like we say, it's early doors. You know, if you're going to have knockwood, you don't have too many of these results. But if you're going to have them now, I suppose, when they're, you know, when you've got your legs up and you're galloping midway through the season, that's when you kind of want your results to start clicking. But it's a little bit of luck like that. You know, Benson takes that chance, you know, kind of stalls the game for a couple of minutes. Galway don't go down the field and get the goal. But it's those kind of fine margins that were Galway or John Coffey team are used to taking advantage of.
Exactly. And like, to be fair, Dundalk were quite lucky tonight. Galway hit the post 3 times. And as you said, Robbie was unfortunate. The ball bounced and it kind of went behind him and then it came onto him on his right foot and his weaker foot.
But on another night, he'd slot that away, no problem. So look, it's the second game of the season. It's still early doors. They're still feeling each other out. There's nothing to be panicking about. It's a good, like, there was some standout players there tonight for Dundalk, I thought were really impressive, and it's looking promising.
Yeah, I think even when you say standout players, for me, we've obviously seen Bradshaw come in, Mayo's come in, done really well. You know, some passes are going to right tonight, but I mean, this kid's, you know, what is he, 19, 20? I mean, you know, he's come in from kind of Dungan and Swift's on loan. But then we've seen the likes of McGuckian coming on later on, really quick, really sharp. You know, a player that we didn't know a lot about. You know, I mean, I see on Twitter people talking, but, you know, it's kind of gone under the radar a little bit, this player. We don't know how many minutes he's going to get. We don't know how much he's going to start. But, I mean, sharp, quick, fast, can pick a pass as well. Can almost probably play right across the front, maybe as a left or a right winger or up front. But that's another player that we probably didn't have last year. We would have relied on Cammy Elliott a lot with Pat. But now we're bringing Cammy Elliott on, and we can see when we're going for games probably in the second half. But the likes of McGuckian coming on, I think it's a different kind of option for us.
I thought when Cammy Elliott came on in the second half, he brought a little bit of a different kind of energy to that front line. And the fact that we played two up front as well with Jamie Gullen, that kind of really kind of helped things. And I think Kieran McGuckian will add even more of that impetus and pace to it that necessarily sometimes last year we didn't have in our front line. And I think that's something that maybe we've been lacking over the past couple of years, just that lightning quick striker that maybe, you know, well, obviously Pat was a different kind of player, David McMillan as well. They would kind of play off that last man, whereas this guy seems to that he'd be able to pull defenders out to different positions, which will leave the kind of the inside runners from the midfield to come in. The likes of, I know Scott High played a very kind of deep role this evening, but I think he plays a more advanced role. Zach Bradshaw, I have to say, the one thing that's really impressed me is that we've been talking about this. Now, Dana knows this an awful lot better, how important the likes of a Chris Shields was in this Dundalk side over the years. Is he the kind of player that we're finally going to say, yeah, he can fill that kind of coveted role? And I think he could be. And I think what McGuckian's going to do is that if it's a case that he's going to draw attention away from centre-backs, that's going to lead to the inside runners like a Benson who's going to make a late advancing run, like Jamie Gullen's going to get a little bit of space. That's going to open up that the likes of the one player that I really impressed me during the pre-season was Robbie Mahon. I think he's really going to come to the fore during the course of the season. I think he'll add an extra pace and impetus on the wings as well.
I think he's, like, to what Dave was saying earlier on, like, it's still so early in the season, only two games in, and we're still learning about what to expect from these lads that are coming in, and they're all obviously learning from each other. So as much as last week there was a lot of positives to take from the result and the performance, like, it's obviously harder to take positives from a home defeat. But there are still positives there, but it's still so early, and the group, we're only after getting together, so it's a tough start. It's a tough beat to lose your first home match, especially when you have the run of away fixtures that we have coming up. That you would think you need the home wins like to propel you, but we still don't know what we have with this group.
Yeah, and I think coming off the back of obviously Tala last week, and it is early doors, like. We're four seasons into a podcast and we can't even do that right. So that's, you know, that this is what it's up against. But we obviously know people are here for Dane himself. So we'll just kind of wrap it up on the post-match. Dane, if you're, I don't mean to go back, but if you're in a dressing room now, second game in, whether it be Kenny or whatever it is, or whatever club, you know, that other club down the road. If you're in there obviously at half-time, you're probably getting head out of it. But at full time, you know, even though your second half has been a decent display, the dog created a chance in the second half. Some crosses going to rise, you know, some little intricate football, but just nobody on the end of it. But the likes of McGuckian there might come in there and maybe fix those problems later on. But are you disappointed after that? Are you, even though there are only two games in, you're kind of thinking, right, let's get back to training, go next week again? Or is it just something, it's a little sucker punch a little bit too early in the season for you? Especially after last week as well.
Yes, especially after last week, you know, John getting a great result in Tala, and then you're expecting to be a team that's come up from the first division. But as Kieran was saying, this team haven't made many signings. There's not much change. That's a well-oiled machine out there. Where Stevie's starting fresh. It'll improve. You have to give it time. But in terms, like you're saying, McGuckian, and like the standout player for me for Dundalk tonight was young Scott Hoy. He wanted the ball everywhere. He was under pressure. Give me the ball. He was dropping into the fullback areas to let Archie Davis go, and they were getting great success. And then Cameron came on up top and changed the game. Every header, he won every header. I just couldn't understand why we weren't just getting it out to Walker and Davis and getting the ball in the box. Just feed off Cameron.
off seconds. Because he was hungry, he wanted to do well, and he was winning everything. He's such a presence up there. He's athletic looking, he's fit, he's something different. And that's exactly what Stevie needs and wants. And as you're saying, Gullen's a good striker as well. It's competition within the squad. And when you have good competition, it's just going to bring the quality up. But like 70% possession, your 13 goal chances. Galway had 13 goal chances as well now. But like, there's not a whole lot wrong.
I think it's just one of those nights, unfortunately, that, look, you know, you're always dreading a game like that against you're not banana skin, they're not a banana skin. I think the league's going to be very tight. I know you're going to get it. We're not going to get the gap at the bottom that we normally have. So I think, you know, although we draw to our bottom tonight, apparently, so we haven't seen the results. But
apparently, we know their bottom.
Yeah, there we are. Apparently, just because Dane's sitting here. But look, it's going to be a long process. We hope it's not too long, but I mean, you know, they are a brand new team. I think we've got 11 signings, 4 or 5 loans. You know, it's going to be difficult. But I think we've seen last week, especially at Tala, there's the makings of a really good squad. Scott High in particular, I think was it Tom O'Connor last week, had really kind of got the stats on him, really top football. I mean, really surprised signing to come in from where he's come in from in Huddersfield. But yeah, look, we just kind of scratch this one off, I suppose, when we go again. Now, I know people aren't here probably to talk about post-match. We're here to find out 20 questions with Dane, but, you know, just to cut from the post-match stuff, just obviously you retired recently and, you know, what's it been like? Has it been, you know, I'm always interested when people retire, fitness levels, are you used to, you know, your diet, all that kind of stuff. I know it's a mad old spectrum to go on, but has everything changed overnight? Have you kind of just kind of easy rolled into it, I suppose? It's probably frustrating not playing every yeah, Friday night.
It is strange. Like, I've been playing football my whole life since I was a kid. I trained 2-3 nights a week. And then finished my leaving cert and then went straight into a professional team. So, like, it's been a huge part of my life. Like, all my friends went away to Australia, went into Interrail, and I was never able to do any of that. So, kind of rekindling all those friendships back, you know. I've booked a few trips this year, gone through Europe, see a few games. What I'm looking forward to most is just coming up and enjoying a game and, like, coming up to Oriel Park and seeing what the atmosphere is really like. Like, I walked in here tonight and everyone's asked me about me mum and dad. I said, what the fuck goes on in the pub? What is going on here during the games? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to come back up. But, no, look, I'm looking forward to enjoying going out to a game, just watching it for what it is and enjoying retired life, you know, just seeing what else I can do without playing football.
We kind of said tongue in cheek, like, from the looks of you can still play. I mean, there's no doubt, like, if there's a gap there, we clean your boots here, we get you on, you know. You could definitely be a good trainer, a good mentor for the likes of Jamie Walker there. But if we can just cast your mind back, you've probably been asked a million times these questions, but it's nice just to get a kind of a live kind of feedback for fans. But Stephen Kenny rings you, 2013. I had to do the maths and I couldn't believe it was that long ago. What's, you know, you're at Bray. You know, obviously, we've just almost been relegated. Stephen Kenny takes the job, rings you up. What are you thinking? Have you had maybe, obviously, everybody knew you in the league, I think, top fullback, top left back. Was there offers from somewhere else? Not that you have to get, but, or was it just when Stephen Kenny rang, you just, what the project that was involved that he sold to you, was that you done? Were you in the zone then for it?
Well, look, Stephen obviously had the Rovers job that season and didn't do really that well. And I remember playing for Bray when Stephen was the manager for Rovers and I was playing in central midfield at the time. But obviously, a couple of months on, he got the sack and I had a couple of options. I had Bowes was there and I could have stayed in Dublin. And Stephen Kenny rang me and I went up and I met Stephen. And for the first half an hour, like, he didn't even want to chat about football. He wanted to know, like, what I was doing for a job, what I did for a living and how I found it and who was my family and what they do and where I was at with my head, or what do I do the weekends and my spare time, like, kind of finding out what kind of personality I had and what kind of a person I was. So look, I had that meeting, I probably went on for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, Stephen loves a chat. But went home and said it to my dad. I said, look, I was offered more money to stay in Dublin. The money in Dundalk obviously wasn't great at the time, but my dad said to me, look, you only have to look at Stephen's history. He had a great Derry side. And I always remember his Derry team. They played fantastic football. They were a really good, exciting team. James McLean came out of it. Good fullbacks. And I just said to my dad, you know what? If it doesn't work out, I'll knock it on the head. I'm going to take a risk. And I signed for Stephen.
that initial changing room had like some unknown quantities, but it also had, you know, experienced players. You had Mark Rossiter, Andy Boyle had just been with Chels, Pat Hoban was at Mareview, Darren Meenan, you know, Brian Gartland came in halfway through that year. Like, it was a side that nobody expected to do anything, but yet I'm led to believe in the first couple of games, I think there was either a draw with Shamrock Rovers or a loss to Sligo, and Stephen even said, if we'd won tonight, we would have been top of the league. And it seemed like something that was kind of very strange at the time, but he was instilling that belief kind of from very early on that he wanted to do something special here.
Exactly. Like, when I met him that first night, he was telling me the how many people lived in Dundalk. He's like, I believe that I'm going to ignite this town. I'm telling you, it's a footballing town. Yeah. We win our first few games, they'll get behind us. And I was like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. Like, Dundalk had finished nearly last, like bottom of the table, won a playoff, came up. So it was a risk for everyone. But I'll never forget walking in here. And they had all the kit bags all lined up here. And I walked in, and it was just like everyone, like, there wasn't a little click in this corner, a little click in that corner. Everybody was just like, I'm Dane. Nice to meet you. Like, I was meeting John Sullivan, Richie Tell, like all the Stephen O, Mark Russell, the players, like as you said, Andy Boyle as well, players that you play week in, week out against, but we're at a crossroads, if you know what I mean. Like, they all decide, right, look, I'm going nowhere. Like, I was with Bray at the time. I wouldn't have dreamt of what I did here. But like, am I going to keep like missing out on life's experiences to play for Bray to finish mid-table, or am I going to take a risk? And if it works out, it does. If it doesn't, I can go back. But walking in here, meeting the lads, there was no clicks. We were all there, and as you said, we played Rovers' first game here. I got sent off.
I didn't mention that though.
My first game for Dundalk, I got sent off, and we were up here for a recovery session the next morning. And like Stephen Kenny didn't give a shit where you lived. If you're dedicated to the cause, you go at it 100%. And that's exactly how he did it. Like, he lived in a small bungalow down the road. I'll never forget it. I was down there for a couple of days, like, to negotiate a contract for the following year. And I was like, is this where you're living? And like, this man had a young family at the time, and he was just so dedicated to succeed, like, that it just kind of rolled over into the squad. And it was an amazing time. Like, as I said, like, we drew with the game, and he came in, and obviously the next morning I came in, I got sent off, and he was like, don't worry about it. You got us that point. Like, I remember, I think it was Carl Shepherd was going through on goal, and I took him down. And that was that.
Who? Like, what's his name?
But, like...
Don't mention the war.
It's like, you could see his dedication to the cause, and it just kind of just rolled into our squad. And then he obviously had an S&C coach there, Graham Byrne, and it was just everybody was at the same crossroads, I think, in life as well, and their careers in football, and we just rode in, and the rest was history.
He was obviously, he sold you on the idea of coming to Dundalk and Dundalk being a football town and reigniting the town and all that. How long did it take for you guys to realise that that was actually happening? That, you know, the first season we went on an amazing run, but came Cropper somewhere. Where was it? The cup game? I can't remember. The cup game was against. But it was. Did you guys know, like, straight away that you actually were going to be able to do what he had set out to do, like, to reignite the town and get everybody back in Oriel and get the place rocking again? Like, is that something that you knew was happening, or did it come by surprise, like, somewhere down the line?
I think probably through the first quarter of that season, like, the football we were playing, like, Stephen was telling me, like, I remember doing a video session and he was giving out to me for not getting forward. And I was like, oh my God, this is my dream. Say no more, I'm gone. But like, that was it. Like, if you're not taking a risk, it wasn't good enough. And like, there were, like, we were saying about Chris Shields cleaning up, like, that was our lifeline and he was our backup. Like, look at Conor McCormack tonight. He done exactly what Chris Shields did for us. Like, how many free kicks did he get tonight falling over the ball? Like, and he's killing the pace of the game. He's running down the clock. Like, that's experience, and it's something that we were missing.
Yeah, and we obviously, you mentioned the first season. People forget almost how close we had it. You know, you almost forget that lovely yellow and blue kit that we had down in Pats that night. But you almost forget that that's the year. Is that the year of the goal, the famous Gannon goal? Is that that year as well? Is that the first season? Or the
no, it's the following
the
year.
Season. Yeah. But even if we were to go forward, you know, when Daryl Hogan came in, it always comes up when we mention you. That partnership, that kind of, and you've also got Daryl Meenan as well, but that partnership on the left flank, yourself and Daryl, was just, like, I'd say you were a fullback's nightmare to pair. Because as you say, you were asked to go forward as well. You were overlapping them all the time. Daryl, top class, still top class, but that partnership really kind of, it was almost, you were so in sync. Like, I don't want to go back and show my age, but like Gary Neville, David Beckham type of thing, but with more pace and better looking. But, you know, you two were just in sync. And, it seemed to be just, it was almost kind of telepathic. You just seemed to have that. Now, that's obviously your training with Stephen and coaching and stuff, and your S&C coach with Graham. But was that something that, you know, just happened organically, I suppose, in training? Or was it something that, you know, we really have to work hard at this? It seemed effortless all the time.
No, 100%. We definitely worked on it. It was tough going, you know. Like, Daryl was a standout performer that year, and most clubs would go put two defenders on Daryl, and that was my job. Well, Daryl never passed me anyway, but I was the runner. If I could get past Daryl, it'd free up another defender or an occupied defender, and then it'd free up Daryl 1v1. Can he do a little piece of magic, which most cases he did? But like when Daryl left, then Mickey Duffy came in, and we kind of formed a similar relationship. It's not something that just happens. You have to work on it. You know, you have to read each other's games and know what he's going to do. And, you know, you help me, I help you out. And that's the basics to a good partnership.
The first game of the 2014 season, the club that shall not be named, we were well beaten. But, like, there was never a sense of panic or anything like that. It just, the momentum got going. And then before you know it, like, there was this tussle between Dundalk and Cork the entire season. But if I was to talk about one pivotal moment, it has to be that game down in Cork in August, where we're 1-0 up, everything's going fine, they go down and equalise, and then Gart scores in with literally the last kick of the last, well, I don't know what it was, a scuff shot in the end, but like, did you get a sense then that something, it looked like you were eventually going to get there and that it was going to come down to the very final day?
Yeah, that game, we got hammered, to be honest. We got hammered first game of the season. We were going in cocky, finished second, and look, we made some good signings. Gano came in, and we really did strengthen the squad. But to go there and get hammered by your local rivals as well wasn't the best start to the season. But it was kind of a rude awakening, because we every preseason game, like, we were winning easy, and then we went in, and it was probably the best thing to happen to us, to be honest. So yeah, and then obviously the Cork game, but it was just like, everybody knew something good was happening, everybody wanted to be a part of it. Like, lads were getting offers from the top teams in Dublin, and nobody was going anywhere, because we all said, like, something good going on here, and I don't want to miss out on it. And we were in Europe, and a lot of us had never played in Europe before, so it was exciting times at the club.
It was around the time where he's played Hajduk Split, where first game here we got defeated, but then Stephen completely flipped the script and changed the team over in Split, and ended up beating them, and you got a standing ovation from the Torvieka and everything. That must have been a surreal experience altogether.
It was probably one of the best atmospheres still to play in this day. Like, driving in, and the bus was getting absolute peppered out with bottles, and like the ultras over there are the original ultras. We found this out after, but the atmosphere was unbelievable, and I think they took an early lead in that game, and we came back, and we were so close, just wasn't to be.
And when you mentioned it, we're talking about 2014, and obviously when somebody talks with Dane, my immediate thought is, apart from Brubaker's the night of the League Cup final, the actual game itself.
Sorry, that's called the Massey final.
Yeah, the Massey final, the League Cup final here, probably the sunniest day I can remember up in Oriel Park ever, but an unbelievable day. You're like, I mean, if you think back, there's stuff that we kind of, you know, you almost forget, but your free kick, I actually forgot about the header as well. The free kick had overtaken everything else. I remember I was sitting down just beside the town, and I couldn't get a stand ticket that day. Jerry didn't saw me with a ticket that day. But it's a strike that, you know, it was just because we were looking for our first trophy. It was just like an unbelievable day. Pat played that day as well, an unbelievable game. I mean, even Wardy as well at the time. Sorry, Chris, Wardy's first stint. But you know, what was the emotion like that day? You know, when we got, that was the day with the bloody stand. Not that stand. That nobody,
didn't we only had 2014.
They didn't fill it then. Jesus. But it was just, it was just an unbelievable day that, you know, it kind of kickstarted. Obviously, it was done a year before, but you've kickstarted the whole trophy laden a couple of years then. Like a fantastic day, and definitely for me anyway, an unbelievable achievement.
Yeah, it was. It was an amazing day, and it was, you know, it was probably the first final for a lot of us in the team, and as you said, like not many people noticed, but I actually scored a free kick the week before that. We played Derry at home, and Daryl was like, Daryl being the usual, Daryl, let me take it. Daryl wants everything. So I was like, no chance. Daryl's so he knows what I was going to say to him. But no, I hit it, and look, it was one of those that I hit it sweet, and I knew the minute it left my boot that it was going in. And but it was a great game. Like, I remember the sun being really low, and it was just really hard to see. And do you know what? I actually didn't play really well at all in that game. But everybody, I got player of the month that month for one game. So I could go. I was saying to the lads, like, the strikers have it easy. Like, score a couple of goals, and you're all over the headlines. It's probably one of my worst games of the season. I scored a free kick and a header, and then I get player of the month. Don't mind the other three games. But yeah, no, look, it was a special time, and it was a good game, great game, and the night after was even better. Yeah.
So, we don't want to go month by month, but on the following year, now I wasn't aware of this. It was only when Chris said earlier on. Obviously, we played Bad Hip Orzov, and you got your inclusion in the Ireland squad, included squad as well. I completely forgot. I don't know if anybody else remembers this, the headbutt.
I completely.
So, what was like in that moment? What was there something said? What was, you know, going through your brain that we were retaliating? Obviously, you mentioned you got sent off in the first game against Shamrock Rovers, but I completely erased this from my memory. I had no recollection of this whatsoever until Chris said it. Like, what was going on in the build up to it? Or was it just one of those moments that you just couldn't believe the ref? I don't know if he was booked, Chris. Was he? Was he booked?
No. It was they scored, and he ran over to me to celebrate, and he just landed one right on me. And I was cool. I couldn't believe that it wasn't seen by anyone. And obviously, the club put in a complaint, and it was seen on video coming up straight and headbutting me. But like, we were at each other the whole game. And obviously, then when they came back to Tallinn, we won. There was a chance there where Gary came out, and he absolutely went through Gary. And I was like a lie straight over. And I said to Andy Boyle, I said, we'll get 5 minutes out of this. I think there was only 10 minutes left. I said, we'll get 5 minutes out of this. So we just start pushing everyone. And then there was just a big rim roll. And it went on for about 3 or 4 minutes. But it killed the pace. It killed the game. And that's what you had to do.
I still remember you pushed him. I'm not going to mouth. I watched it back. I know exactly what you said to him. There's children in here. So we're not going to say it. But I just remember about 30 seconds later, Paddy Barrett comes out of nowhere and just pole axes him to the floor with a shove, gets a yellow card, and he just shrugs his shoulders and walks off. Like, it's at that stage, you are just killing the clock. But but it was just sweet revenge. Oh, 100%.
My eyes lit up just went straight from him. But you know what? We were all on a buzz 10 minutes ago, we knew. And Robbie obviously went on and scored an amazing goal. And it was just surreal. Like, I remember the atmosphere and the piss and rain. It was great. It was great.
So we get Batty that time. They knock us out. Next year, though, we get Batty again. It's time for revenge this time. Go back to the first leg on that. You know, the 1-0 defeat, but that's a defensive masterclass. And Gaz puts off a couple of master saves in that game, too.
So we went in at half time, and we were just like, what can we do? Like, they ran us ragged. I don't think we had one pass completed. And we were absolute, I'll never forget it, we were shattered. Like, Stevie, oh, something has to change. Patrick McLean, John Mooney was playing right wing back. And when you're looking at John and he's panting, he's the fittest in the squad, you're like, Jesus Christ. And when the draw was made, we're like, I don't believe it's not again, because it's a tough place to travel to. It's not the most welcoming place either. And like, we were staying in a hotel an hour away from the ground. And I don't know if you remember the ground was in the middle of a forest. And like, a good percentage of the crowd was the army. So it was quite hostile. Yeah, it was. It's a crazy place. But yeah, like, the team, they were a fantastic football team. They were brilliant. They moved there really well. And like, you can see your man coming back from Arsenal and signing for them. Like, yeah, they had a huge pull. And it was a fantastic, great little ground, like, super little stadium. But like, they were a phenomenal team.
we come back here. So it's only 1-0. I presume we're thinking we're still in this if we can have it. But like what happened in Tala that night, I mean, like anyone that was there, like we'll never forget that game ever. Like once we went ahead, is that it? Like, is kind of went for it, or
it was kind of just from the kickoff. Like we were keeping possession and they were sitting off us, and we were like, you know what, we have it. Like they're sitting off, let's have a go here.
Yeah.
And Darrell had a bit of success down the left, and we were getting Davey off the shoulder. We were getting a good bit of joy. And then I think the first goal was just before half time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was great timing for the goal, and it gave us a massive lift going in for the second half.
I have a question.
It was a cross.
That's what I wanted to know. I don't believe it was, but.
So that cross comes over. It goes over everyone. There's only one player at the back post sliding in.
That was not a cross. There was no way.
Everyone gives me stick for the celebration. Yeah. They've never seen anyone celebrate an assist.
Because by the time Davey comes over to celebrate, you're already celebrating with the fans in the corner.
I was gone, but I'm looking at the fans and they're on the pitch as well. The place just went mental. But like it was just surreal. Like, you know, from going, having notes, like the Irish media were ruthless. Like we no chance. And then to go level, and then to go ahead and be comfortable was just like, here we go, let's go.
And then Robbie steals the ball and rolls in for a third, and everyone piles in the corner for a slight. I mean, the conditions got shocking then too, like, but it suited their mood, and it, like, it could have been snow and everything else, and we wouldn't have cared 1 ounce. Like we were putting them out, and Alexander Klebb was on the plane his way back home.
Yeah. But everyone says it to me, like, nobody remembers the goal. They just remember Robbie's celebration, little bob in the head running off. But as you said, like, you know, the late Harry Taff has great coverage in the stands. And, you know, one of the Lennon girls were crying there, and you're walking around the stadium. And, like, we were honestly there for about 45 minutes after the whistle went in the pissing rain. Still giving a laugh. Like, it was just surreal. It was amazing. And then we went into the changing room, and the president came down, and then Martin O'Neill came down. It was just like, this is mad. And then we had a box of balls. Like, you probably heard this, but like the winners of the game went on to the Champions League playoffs, and you have to, part of the protocol is you have to have the Champions League logo and everything. So you had new physio bags, footballs, all the kit on the side of the pitch has to be Champions League logos. So there was loads of boxes full of Champions League stuff. And then Noel, the kit man, comes in with a box of balls and just throws them. We're all throwing Champions League balls around. And then Martin O'Neill walks in going, what the fuck's going on here?
It's like a load of kids with the whole box full of balls and lifestyle sports kicking around.
That's exactly. We all grew up playing with a Champions League football, you know, Santa Brada or whatever. But like, it was just like, but now we're playing with the real thing. Yeah. And we went out and into the VR national team stadium, and to hear the music being played was
the Legia game. So like, you roll out there and it's a packed house full of everybody, and it's, you know, Dundalk fans, but it's League of Ireland, everyone piled in. This was a big event, like a Champions League playoff for an Irish team to be that close and get that far. Like, how did you guys feel coming out? Like, you were representing the whole country at that stage.
Yeah, like the messages we were getting off people was crazy. And then like, we were staying in the Castleknock, and part of when you're at that level is both teams have to get a police escort into the stadium, and we were going through Dublin city centre and the place was at a standstill, and then there's this big fuck off Dundalk bus coming through the middle of it. And we were all like, this is great. But like the traffic, it was crazy, and it was just like going out, it was just so surreal for Champions League to be in Dublin. And it was brilliant to see, just looking into the crowd, Galway jumpers, Bows, Rovers jumpers, messages from all other players across the country. It was amazing.
Then the ref fucked us over.
Yeah, it was. It was really harsh, right? Like, it was a crazy decision to give a penalty for. It was crazy. But look, do you know what? We played really well. Fats had a header in the first couple of minutes, and like, we played good football, and I thought we did the league and the country proud.
It was like a lot of people in this room. I hope there's not speaking in a term, but I was very lucky to get to Poland for that away leg. And I know that we saw the banners of Liga last night and whatever, but them, that stadium and that noise, and I know we spoke about Hajduk Split, but I have never experienced an atmosphere like it. I don't know what it was. I say it was even better for you, but
Robbie Benson scores what I believe is the greatest, one of the greatest goals I've ever seen in my life. Never mind, and I nearly got.
Did you not see his free kick?
Oh, but, the same celebration. Yeah.
But then, but the problem was, he didn't even crack a smile. Like, you know what I mean? He just got nudged by Chris Shields, I think. But like, it was, but that shot goes in. The place goes into complete silence. Did you have an idea, maybe? Jesus, we might pull this off again.
Yeah, we scored and they backed right off. And like, I remember that week of training, we were training in Abbottstown in Dublin, and Kilduff and Barrett had clashed, and Kilduff done his knee. That was killer for us because you could nearly name the subs.
Pardon the pun.
You could nearly name the subs in that team at that time. You know, Dave off, killer on, and gives us a different style and different attacking prowess. But I think young O'Connor came on, and like, the strength wasn't there. He was only a kid coming on in that sort of atmosphere. And but look, we were still banging on the door there. We had some great chances. Robbie had another great chance for a scissors kick near the end. Like, we ran them close. It wasn't just as easy as it was made out to be.
Sorry, just on that game alone, in the build up to that, like, what was Stephen Kenny like? Was he like, you know, even after the game, DV, was he adamant that it's there? Because I still remember to this day, I remember watching the game with the Lilywhites. And I still remember his pre-match, and like, we need goals. I still remember doing the pre-match and the look on his face, and we'll get them, you know, like, if we're going to take some beating here. And it was kind of, it was a roar went up when his pre-match interview was done, because he had set up the team to do that. There was no fear. Like, was it the same, which you just go out and it not that it's a hit for nothing, but let's go out here and play, you know, it's a big pitch, big stadium, you know, though it wouldn't be a giant killing, I suppose, but let's go out and you know, play the way we can play and we might be able to turn this over.
Yeah, like, when you put it down on paper, like, we were one game away from qualifying for the Champions League group stages. So that wouldn't just change the club. That would change every single player's life going forward. Like, you're talking tens of millions at this stage. Like, so, like, we don't, like, League of Ireland, I know, like, the prize money's not great or whatever. Like, we were getting, like, your bonus for qualifying for the Europe was way better than winning a league. And, like, winning a league is fucking, it's hard. Like, you have to dedicate your life to it. So, like, Europe is where it was at. And Europe was where, if you wanted to be a footballer, you wanted to play in the best stage. And financially, Europe in Ireland was the best option. And that's what we were doing. And Stephen did set us out attacking-wise. Like, he fully believed we were going to win that game. And that, just as I said, it rolled into the squad. But, obviously, it didn't happen. We had to fall back in the Europa League group stages then, and it was still a great achievement. And, like, do you know what? It was a fantastic experience, you know, something that I'll never, ever, ever forget.
You're sitting in a hotel room in Wexford, if I'm not mistaken. You're all bunched in.
Are we okay in this story?
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. I read Garth's book before we started this question, but, like, you're all sitting and you're waiting for the draw. And our name comes out, and the initial thought process is that we're going to be in a group with Inter Milan and Southampton, but whatever way the group dropped us, we ended up with AZ Alkmaar, Zenit St. Petersburg, and Maccabi Tel Aviv. And seemingly the talk at the time was that that's okay. Like, you know, this is a good group to be in. You could get something out of this, and the belief once again starts again for the Europa League.
Yeah, that's it. Like, we're true. And like he was going around, like, you know, players being selfish as they naturally are. We're hoping for the big stadiums in the UK and, you know, the big names. And we get AZ, like, we never heard of AZ, like, you know. So, no, look, we were all looking for the big names in the draw, but, like, Kenny came out and he was buzzing that week in training. Like, we have a real chance here. And we got off to a flyer as well in the group. We really did.
That famous, we were calling him a killer on the show last week in the off chat, but even moments like that, it almost felt like it was meant to be. You know, like there's many a team would have just, like you say, looking for the big teams, but every team is a big team. And that stage of Europa League, every team you're going to get, like you say, AZ Alkmaar, you know, like that goal from Kieran Kilduff, that just that float across, I don't know what minute was it in the 90 minutes? Yeah. Like a frightening.
Gets later every time you tell the story.
Every time I tell the story, it's 150 minutes. But it just seemed to be, like, even when you take the Zenit game away from home as well, like, yeah. you know, a frightening, like the absolute neck on us to go over there and think that we're going to be, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you had no right to be doing it, really. But like, it just seemed to be instilled in that squad.
We drew away with AZ, and then we beat Maccabi and Tala, and then we're winning 1-0 against Zenit at home. And like, we're at top of the group. Yeah. But that's what we're saying. It's margins, and I hit the post. It goes to nobody in the box. They break, and then next of all, like, we're down 2-1, and that was it. Like, we were, I don't think we won a game then after that. But like, how close? Like, we're talking about margins here. We're top of the group, beating probably one of the biggest budgets in Europe. 1-0 at home. It's just, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, yeah,
and that's like, that was right down to the very last game. Still, there you go. And when you think, like, at that time, Ben Ayoun had gone back to Maccabi. Ron Vlaar was at AZ Alkmaar.
Ward Weghorst was there as well.
And Witzel is.
Your hand bash was playing right wing for AZ. He got to move to Brighton then.
It's madness, like, isn't it? Like, he's really...
Like, there was big names, It was. It was really... And, like, I remember the striker for Zenit, the little Brazilian guy. Juliano. He was only, like, that height. And he was strong as an ox. The ball control off him was amazing. And these are games that, like, you only dream of playing, and players that you want to be playing against week in, week out, because there's only one way you're going to go, and that's improving.
Martin, the good news is we've done page one.
just the 16 to go.
The following year is the Rosenborg game. Like, it's heartbreak. It's 1-1 here, and we go over there. It's 2-1, and once again, it's the woodwork again.
Yeah, I even remember the goal here. It was a really poor goal to give away, and kind of really killed us. It was late, I think, as well, wasn't it? Yeah, went over there. Another great stadium, good players. You know, Benner was playing, big name. Yeah, Nicholas Brenner was playing. Do you know what? You need a lot of luck in Europe in terms of the draw, and then things for you to go right on the pitch. And, like, set pieces are so crucial at that level. Yeah. And that was one of our main strengths. We scored early. It just wasn't to be, you know.
Do you feel the way the format is in Europe now, like, at that stage we were playing one Champions League qualifier, we lost and we were out. And look, Shamrock Rovers get three bites of it now. Like, we could have been going deep into conversations with that team now. If that was the format.
Jesus, like, yeah, having three bites of the cherry, like, and it's a free hit, really. You know, you can't.
First one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, there's no pressure on you. Go out and play your game. Go have a go at the opposition team. You've nothing to lose because you have another two chances. But, if we had that, Jesus, we'd be qualifying every year and we'd be sitting here in a 20-seater stadium.
It's only 10 now at the
20
moment.
20 massive seats.
I'm going to skip through years because we'll be here all night. Otherwise, go for it, John. That's right. It was Celtic was on the line, John.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you probably would have fancied your chances against Celtic at the time, you know. Yeah, we were, yeah.
It's funny, like, AZ, how we fancy our chances, Zenit. Yeah, we fancy our chances. We could have got Celtic. How we fancy our chances.
But that was just the mentality then, you know. What have you got to lose? And we had a great manager who had full confidence in every one of his players, and it showed.
That 2017 was a very strong, just, you know, thinking of John Caulfield here tonight, it was a very strong team. We went up against Shawnee Maguire, coming out scoring all the goals early in and trying to reel them back in that year. It was very tough, tough challenge to kind of pull back. Then there's that late goal in the FAI Cup as well. It's heartbreak. Go that late and that one squeezed across the line then.
Yeah, and plus we'd lost a couple of players that year as well. And so there was more change than normal within it because Stephen usually signed 2-3 players each year and strengthen it. But we lost a good few numbers going into 2017. And I remember signing, we had Conor Clifford, Stephen Kinsler, younger players that were coming home from the UK and felt they still had a point to prove, and it didn't work out really.
So the next year, Stephen goes and strengthens and brings in players like Tanguy Dewey and stuff like that, just to really get us across the line, is it? To be fair though, like we go back, we reclaim our title the following season, and it's that other FAI Cup where, you know, Fat scores that winner late on. Like it's nearly an iconic FAI Cup moment as well. How important was it after the previous year, Cork doing the double, to go back and we do it then the following year?
Yeah, exactly. It was massive. I think Fats had come back then from Oldham, and there was a good vibe around the place, and we strengthened quite a good bit. So yeah, it was massive for us to get the league back, and Cork winning the double, like, was a heartbreak. But like, to be fair, you have to give them credit. They were there every year. They pushed us. Like,
what was it like playing them in a final, like, every year though?
Yeah, it was killer. But like, you look at Shamrock Rovers now, four in a row. Yeah. Who's pushing them? No, like, yeah, you know, Derry and Pats are probably the closest, and they're probably not as consistent as they should be. And like, to be fair to Cork, they were there. Or like, as soon as we slipped up, Cork were there. So like, that was the competition, and I think that's what pushed us on in Europe as well, that we were playing and we had to perform every week. Whereas you look at Shamrock Rovers now, you know, they're winning games easy and there's no one really there breathing down their neck. And then they're going playing in Europe.
Yeah.
That's, well, you can say it's a contributing factor, but it is what it is.
Then comes, after the cup final, Stevie's wedding and the news breaks.
We skipped the Larnaca and all of that. I want to know what the heat was like in Larnaca first, though.
It was outrageous. Like,
you were subbed that.
I was subbed. Yeah,
did you even want to come on?
Like, we played them here nil all, and we played really well. We missed a good few chances, and we were thinking, well, we're going to beat these away, because we were looking through the squad. They had four or five starting players that were in their late 30s, retired from the league in Spain. And we were like, right, let's have a go. And then we were like, as the week progressed, like, right, we're playing them at the earliest time they can kick a game off in Europe. And it's like, it's just for the pure heat factor. Like, they'd be well used to it. And then, Jesus Christ, we got over there. Like, we were warming up. And, like, they only had a small stand that would cover, like, 10 yards of the pitch. And we were all buried into this little bit of shade.
Spot the Irish.
And you're like, you look at Shieldsy, like, he was purple.
To make matters worse, they made you wear the black kit.
Yeah, yeah. But like, the heat was, it's just energy sapping. I think Sean Hoare played fullback that day as well. Yeah. Myself and Gano were on the bench, were we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's set that back.
Like, how can you even play football in that heat? Like, it must be just stifling.
It was just energy sapping. Like, we did a very small warm up, but like, first 10 minutes, they were like, boom, 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 boom. Well used to the heat. And yeah, like, us Irish lads, Jesus, no. But like, again, that's a European team using the outside, like, using it to their strength, and that's what they do. Exactly. Experience.
Go for it now. Here, go.
Right, there we go. Cup final, you're at Stephen O'Donnell's wedding, and then the news starts to filter through that Stephen Kenny's leaving. Was it expected, or I know that a lot of people, there was kind of rumours around it, but then it seemed very, very sudden that he was taking the under-21s job. He had rejected it. Then he accepted it again with the viewpoint that he was going to take the senior job. Was it still a shock to all of us at the time?
Yeah, because he was offered the 21s job before, I think, and he told us, look, he wasn't interested in being the 21s manager. He was fully committed to ourselves and like how we were progressing. But if you're a manager, it doesn't matter what job you're in, you want to be at the best and at the highest level you can get to. And he was offered the senior job after 6 months of doing it, or maybe more, in the 21s. Like, you can't blame the man for taking it. Like, it was a huge opportunity for him, and it's the highest level he could manage in this country. And I think every one of us, like, felt extremely proud, because we all felt we played a part in him getting that job. And you have to give Stephen credit. He rang every one of us thanking us a couple of weeks later. And we, like, I know Sean, I speak to Sean Gannon quite a lot, and Davey Mackin, we were probably at most of all his games as the Ireland manager. We supported him, and I think probably most people here believe that he could do a good job there, but it just, like, the luck went against him. COVID came in, and I think anything that could have went against him did. And he's just incredibly unlucky. And you can see, like, Stephen wears his heart on his sleeve. Like, when they lose a game, you're like, you're fucking dreading the Stephen's interview. Like, oh, God, he could cry here, you know. But, like, that's the man he is. Like, that's how he play. Like, that's how he interviews. He wear, like, he is an honest man, and it really, really hurts him.
Obviously, when we talk about Kenny leaving, we obviously straight away go to, I actually think, Gav's interview down at, was it in the museum, Gav, when you interviewed Vinny then, very close to Alan, kind of asked about taking the job and stuff like that. And was that kind of, as players, did you think that was the natural progression, that Vinny would come in and kind of just step in, or were you expecting almost Vinny to kind of...
He was there that night as well.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. But was it a natural progression, you thought, for Vinny? Or were we expecting him to go with Stephen to the job? Or was it just, you know, well, obviously, if Vinny's not going anywhere, he's going to take this on and carry on with Stephen already started?
Yeah, well, I remember there was a couple of meetings with a few players in the group, and they were asking us, well, how did the players feel about it? And we were like, well, look, Vinny's been assistant manager and probably been one of the closest... Like, if I had a complaint about Stephen, why am I in the team? You'd go to Vinny. And Vinny would tell you as a friend, you know, and now he's the boss. You're calling him gaffer. But he brought in good people around him. And he done extremely well that year as well. In his first year, I think we won everything that year, apart from the cup? Yeah, the FA Cup. So, like, you have to give Vinny credit. And, like, he bought into it. I remember Vinny bringing in books on the All Blacks and handing them out to the lads, and he'd pre-read it and highlighted certain chapters that he wanted to last. So he was fully committed, and he was in Stephen Kenny's right. He was his right-hand man, essentially, for all those years, and he knew what it took, and he wanted to step up and do the same. And I don't think I don't know, it's a conversation between him and Stephen, if it was offered to him or did he turn it down or whatever, but he was the manager of Dundalk, and that's what he wanted to do, and from the get-go, he was committed. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but clearly,
yeah.
As I was going to say, so clearly you guys rolled right in behind that, because to go and win the title again, you know, win the League Cup and go all out, unite the Union and Cup was it that year as well. Like, you're close to doing a treble.
Yeah.
Technically, you know, unfortunately, the penalty shootout in the FA. That's massive for you guys, giving that back into Vinny then as well, and to go and do that for you guys, because everyone assumed it's Stephen Kenny putting everything together here, but you guys rallied in behind Vinny then.
Yeah, like, you know, we tried to keep everything as normal as possible. The change, like, try and change as little. So, yeah, look, Vinny obviously came in and had his own ideas, and it worked, but, like, the caliber of player he was managing, like, it was a fantastic squad he had. But he did a good job and brought in John Gill, and everybody got on, and it was a great camp to be involved in.
We won't go into the last season, will we? we'll skip by the half a season that doesn't count anyway with COVID. Exactly. You know, you struggled for form, you struggled for injury and everything that year. It was just a lot, you know, and as well as COVID and everything else. It was just a tough luck season really for you, was it?
Yeah, it was mad. Like, I remember we got off to a good start and we played Rovers and Tala, and the league in general was on the way up. Like, I think there was 8,000 in Tala, and we lost the game, but Jordan scored a fantastic goal, and COVID hit. I'll never forget it. We were to play Pats, I think, and Martin came into the analysis room and said, game's off. And we were like, what? And he goes, right, we'll see you in 2 weeks. But we hadn't seen each other for 3-4 months after that. It was just a scary time. And, like, I've been blessed with injuries through my career. I've never, ever had a bad injury. And then we came back after COVID, and I'd done my hip flexor, and I had to have an operation. And I was out for, I think it was 6 to 8 weeks, but I made it back in time. But during that 6 weeks, they named the Europa League squad, and I wasn't in it. And it was killer. Yeah, it was really hard to take. And yeah, it was probably one of the hardest years I've ever had to endure, to be honest. Because I was always, like, you know, I was always the left back for Dundalk. And then that year, I missed it. I missed it by a couple of weeks, but yeah.
Right, we've probably asked you enough questions, and we better wrap this up fairly quickly before they start flicking lights at us. Is there any questions from anyone here? 500, that's grand. Well, same as... All right. So you're leaving Dundalk, and you clearly don't want to go too far. And what, you just didn't want to win anything anymore and so a draw is the best, is it? Or
no, look, draw obviously being promoted.
The
same my mom and dad did as well.
There you are.
I think the question was, do you remember that goal in Sligo?
Yeah, it was a cracker. I only scored good goals. It was.
Dane Massey doesn't do tap-ins.
Dane, if you had to pick a moment in your whole Dundalk career, what would that be? If you had to just pick one.
No, do you know what? We worked so hard to get that league, and that to win the league here against Cork on our final night, and seeing everyone run on, like, there's so many faces here that were there that night on the pitch. It was amazing. That was probably the most, like, all our families were there, and it was just an amazing time for the town. Like, you could see it, people running on the pitch at full time. It was just an amazing experience, and it's something that lived with me forever. Yeah.
And what kind of happened then after as well, like, that was just the kickstart for everything then, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100%. You know, what happened, like, everybody wanted to be on the Dundalk bandwagon, and I'll never forget it, like, there was calls coming in from all clubs in the League of Ireland offering us mad money, probably way more money than we'd been on the following year. And, like, they were trying to this is the honest truth, they were trying to break up the team. Like, they were trying to take players, I'll give you an example, right? St. Patrick's tried to sign me and they'd in Birmingham. So what's the point of signing me then? You know, you're trying to break up the team and you're trying to stop what was happening in the club because everybody could see it. So, but nobody went, nobody left. And then we were all of a sudden the following year, we're signing the best players in the league and we are the place to be at. And it doesn't happen by accident. Like, you have to roll in together and it's just a mentality of being there and being one as a team.
Yeah, we just on the social, we've had comments, and if anybody wants to ask a question, folks, you can. Just before we wrap it up, there's comments in. Ryan Dillon wants to know when you start coaching at the club.
When am I going to start coaching here?
Yeah. Speaks really well. Want them coaching at the club. That's a comment. I tell you what I did get, Jess. I got a text from a certain, I don't know if he plays football. He's a Jay Mountain. And he wanted to know what the Guinness was like in Bohola.
Bohola. We were down in...
Are we allowed to tell this story?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we were down in Bohola this year for Robbie Benson's wedding. And it wouldn't be a Christmas without a League of Ireland wedding anyway. But we went down to John's place and all the lads were there. I hadn't seen the lads in a long time. And I don't know if anyone's been to John's pub in Bohola. It's just a John Mountney shrine. It has his boots here, his jersey here, and by the way, his boots are brand new. But no, we had a great night, and it's obviously the family pub, and we got a warm welcome, and we had a great night. Yeah, great wedding.
You all have to do 5-star reviews and everything for him.
No, none of that.
Tell me this: when everything was going really well, and there was all the talk of Dane Massey for Ireland, did you kind of ever think, I actually have a shot at this?
To be honest with you, no. Martin O'Neill was never going to
be. So I created a Facebook page for nothing.
Like, I remember the push. It was on M&S on the Monday night, and there was a push. And then, like, it was in the press conference then for the next team meeting, for the next national team meeting. And then I think Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane came out here to watch us against Bowes, and we ended up losing, but we scored in it. And I went off injured in the game after an hour. But, like, they were never, ever going to call. There was just that snobbery there for the League of Ireland. And, yeah, it was never going to happen. And, like, in fairness, I think it was more the Irish media trying to push the Irish League on and have a player represent. And I think that was a position they seen fit for someone to go into. Yeah, so, but, no, I don't think they were ever going to pick anyone, to be honest, and...
Dead right. You and Declan Rice never capped for Ireland. There you go. If we've nothing else, we'll be another one. No, look, Dean, you've done cool comms tonight. I've seen you more than I've seen my wife tonight, so I better let you go home. on behalf of everyone here, for all the history and everything you've put for this club, please, a round of applause for Dean Massey.
Thanks a million.
You can go home now. Thanks, everybody. We'll all definitely do this again. Thank you.
We just have a short presentation as well. Just going to make it. Get yourself a picture there.
Come on, right?
Come on in there so we can see it on the stream.
See on the live stream there as well.
Oh, yeah. John Mountney said that's not going in the pub.
Thanks very much, folks.
Round of applause again.